I'm Dan Webster, film critic for Spokane Public Radio and blogger for Spokane7.com.
And I'm Mary Pat Truthart, part-time film critic, full-time law professor at Gonzaga University School of Law.
And I'm Nathan Weinbender, also a film critic for Spokane Public Radio and film and music editor for The Inlander.
And welcome to Movies 101, that show that may be getting a bit too comfortable in our respective homes, what with the temptation to binge-watch anything and everything, leading some of us into vampire territory. We got back to watching movies last week, in our spare time at least, which took us on a kind of magical thematic mystery tour. First up is the serial killer investigation, The Little Things, followed by the private eye slash therapy session venture, The Kid Detective, and then the look into the ancient past saga titled simply The Dig. Let's begin this week's show by looking at a movie that features not one, not two, but three Oscar-winning actors. The first is Denzel Washington, a two-time Oscar winner, followed by Rami Malek and Jared Leto. Washington plays Joe Deacon, an officer from a rural California sheriff's office who is tasked to visit the same Los Angeles police precinct for which he used to work, but clearly, for reasons that will ultimately become clear, from which he has been unceremoniously banned. Once there, he encounters the latest hotshot detective, Malik's Jim Baxter, who is after the killer of several young women, a case that throws Deke back into his own troubled past. Soon, Deke and Baxter team up, uneasily enough, and target a suspect, played by Leto, in one of his creepier guises. But the investigation becomes less about solving crime than it begs questions about guilt, innocence, and individual perspectives, both on a definition of justice and how to live with the ghosts of actions past.
Yeah, this movie was written and directed by a guy named John Lee Hancock, who has a filmography that's kind of all over the place. I think his biggest movies are The Blind Side. He did Saving Mr. Banks with Tom Hanks's Walt Disney, and now he has this kind of grungy little David Fincher light police procedural, The Little Things. And looking at this movie, I think I understand what he was trying to do, because this is, as you alluded to, it's a story about hopelessness. It's about your career and your personal life hitting a dead end. It's about grappling with things that you've done in your past that you're not proud of. And it just so happens to kind of take the form of this serial killer mystery. And it really does feel kind of like the movies that we got in the wake of Silence of the Lambs and Seven. And supposedly Hancock has had this movie written since sometime in the 1990s. And so it happens to be set in the early 90s as well. But the investigation at the center of this movie is, and which takes up a good chunk of its 2-hour running time, is so boring. And I kept waiting for the case to break open. I kept waiting for some kind of new twist to announce itself. And it just never happens. And the ending is this big nothing. And I think that's the point. I think that Hancock is trying to make a statement here about, you know, the nature of feeling unfulfilled and how arbitrary fate and the universe can be. But I think if that was his goal when he was making The Little Things, he needed to give us something really resonant in the way of character development, in the way of emotional substance. And all three of the main players here, who you mentioned are all Oscar-winning actors, are also big nothings. I mean, I didn't really learn much about them over the course of this movie, even though we get flashbacks that are supposed to illuminate, you know, why Denzel Washington was once this hotshot big city cop and now is basically, you know, a one-man police force in rural California. And then you have Rami Malek, who is so robotic and dead-eyed in this movie that I almost expected it to be revealed that he was a serial killer himself. And again, I think that acting choice is probably deliberate, but it doesn't add anything to the film. There's nothing constructive about it. And I don't know, maybe we can talk about Jared Leto, because he's actually getting awards consideration for this movie, which is insane to me. But I found him, all of his choices and ticks, to be totally bizarre, but in a way that wasn't, you know, scary or intimidating. It just kind of felt like a method actor going method because he could. So yeah, this movie was a complete non-starter for me. I watched it. I paid attention. Things happened. The case at the center of the movie unfolded. And then it was over and it felt like nothing had happened. And I was just, I just thought, why did I just spend 2 hours with these people when, you know, we just ended up at the same place at the end. And again, I think that's the point, but there's nothing in between the bookends of this story to engage me at all. So I thought this was a big dud.
And I think that there are many who agree with you if you look at its tomato meter rating, for example. And I think the movie got pulled off track from the very beginning because we find out relatively early on that this is going to be set in the 90s. And I think that there are reasons for that. But as a practical matter, unlike some other films that we can think of where the set design and everything points to a particular time period, this is almost timeless. And so I think, I mean, it should be a bigger factor, I think, in the film, because this was sort of pre, you know, CSI and all of these, you know, forensic techniques and so forth. And so we need to put ourselves back in that mindset, and it doesn't surround us with the accoutrement to do that. And so that was distracting to me because I was thinking, well, why don't they just do this? Oh, well, it's 30 years ago.
Well, yeah. Doesn't it seem like the reason they said it in the 90s was because you have so many more dramatic conveniences in terms of, well, that technology didn't exist yet, so they can get away with this particular plot point.
And so it felt lazy in some ways, because if you're going to put it in the 90s, put it in the 90s and surround us with that sense and sensibility of what was happening then. And I appreciated the fact that the Denzel Washington character, who is the primary protagonist, we don't really know how to relate to him at any point throughout this movie. So I liked that. But then at some point, I think there has to be some reconciliation with the audience response to that particular character. And we never really get that. And Rami Malek, I'm not exactly sure why he was in this movie, because his character didn't make sense. His acting, as you point out, for Mr. Robot, was, you know, just sort of formulaic. And so that was bothersome. So I do think that we need to talk about Jared Leto, because again, I don't think any of these characters or this plot or this anything about this film is new. And there were opportunities to make it new, because we do see this guy who was, you know, shipped off to the boondocks as a result of missteps in his career in the big city of LA. But we've seen things such as that before, and this needed something else to, you know, make us care about any aspect of this.
I think the little things is another argument for never go back to do those unfinished projects that you've always kept in the back of your mind and you want to do. John Lee Hancock wrote this 30 years ago. It was meant to be set in the 90s.
Contemporaneously.
Exactly. And he never got around to producing it, never raised the money. And I think we know the reason why. You know, I'll watch Denzel Washington do anything. And I think he does a credible job in this film, even given the fact that his character doesn't make a whole lot of, at least formulaic sense. I didn't have any really problems with Jared Leto. I totally agree with you, Nathan, that it's like a method acting and he doesn't do anything adventuresome. But I think the big problem, and both of you have pointed out, is Rami Malek. I mean, what was he thinking? You used the term, I think, formulaic. He's like an alien come to Earth. He's like stepped right off the set of Mr. Robot and said, oh, now I'm going to be a police detective. I mean, let's forget that movie, Bohemian Rhapsody, which I was very good in and which I won an Academy Award. I'm just going to go back to what I know best, which is being the weirdest cat in town. Every time he was on screen, I went, what is he doing?
So, well, and didn't you feel the same way about, I don't want to give away the ending of The Little Things, because again, it's a police procedural. And one of the most important parts of a police procedural is how it all wraps up, how the investigation plays out. And here it ends in a way that, you know, it actually reminded me of, speaking of another film that has, well, not a film, a show that has come out since Hancock wrote the script, but True Detective, which has a lot of the similar elements here, and also ends in a way that is unsatisfying, but satisfying at the same time, where we get certain answers and not others. And I think that's what Hancock was going for here. But the way it plays out, it just felt like, Well, what was the point of any of that? Why did you lead me down this garden path to literally just hit a brick wall at the end? I mean, in theory, it sounds interesting.
We've seen and heard too much about serial killers at this point. I mean, if you go back and look at some other films that may have done this better, you know, whether it's Zodiac or Seven, or even we were talking about I'll Be Gone in the Dark.
And Silence of the Lambs.
Right. All of the docudramas about serial killers, this just doesn't really have any particular unique aspects to it in any way. And that's what I think is the problem with Jared Leto's performance. Fine, but not outstanding, not award-winning caliber, in my opinion.
No, I totally agree. And that was The Little Things. This is Movies 101. It's time to take a short break. Before we go, remember that you can access podcast of Movies 101 by going online at SpokanePublicRadio.org. While there, check out the individual reviews that Nathan and I write. Don't do it now, though, because we'll be right back to look at The Kid Detective and The Dig. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio. And we're back. This is Movies 101, and I'm your host, Dan Webster. During the first half of the show, Mary Pat Truthart, Nathan Weinbinder, and I discussed The Little Things. Let's now move to The Kid Detective and The Dig, and let's begin with a movie with young adult themes, but fully adult content. I don't mean adult in the sense of a triple X rating, but in the sense of mature emotion. While some aspects of this film, written and directed by first-time feature filmmaker Evan Morgan, would seem to target a young adult audience, the title, for example, what Morgan ultimately gives us is an examination of grief and regret. Abe Applebaum, played by Adam Brody, is a 31-year-old former Wunderkind who once had a reputation as a master detective. But then he encountered a case that he couldn't solve, and fast forward two decades, he is stuck. Emotionally, financially, and pretty much every other way possible. When he gets a second chance to break a big case, the opportunity throws him back into his past, and what he eventually discovers doesn't exactly deliver the kind of cathartic happy ending that he, or fans of YA literature, are apt to expect.
Let's first say about The Kid Detective that it feels as though it's somehow being filmed in this artificial world. So we have this small town and it's, you know, it has all of the hallmarks of what, you know, an ideal small town should look like or be. And we have the opportunity to meet many of its characters and players because we are going to get the backstory of Abe's circumstances and how he was such a superior kid detective, which in and of itself is kind of a ridiculous concept, but nevertheless, he does manage to solve such important crimes as where did the cat go and, you know, who left their book bag in the library and things such as that. But then we discover that his junior detective skills bump up against a real life girl gone missing case. And we see how the denouement of that situation has now affected him as an adult. So as Dan indicated, he's now a bona fide detective, having remained in his small town. And so he remembers himself as how he was back in the day, as do others. And now he's sort of become like the town joke. maybe because also he drinks to excess and doesn't do himself any favors in that regard. So I think the term loser would have been most appropriately applied to him currently. So is there going to be any redemption for him? Well, of course, he's called upon, fortunately, to solve another missing person's case that looks like it's a murder. And so a local college student comes and wants him to work for her. So that's sort of the plot. But this timing and sequencing of this film is so unusual, I think, because it just has these sort of like periods where it's kind of a lull and then something, you know, exciting will happen or it will pull us back into what's going on. And so it was sort of a ride in terms of the kid detective for me because its pacing was a little unusual. Adam Brody, who plays our protagonist, Abe, did a great job. I mean, I'm only familiar with him as a television actor. Some of the other secondary characters, I felt a little bit too much like they were acting. And so this whole film, which has an ending that goes in a little bit different direction than we anticipate, really felt like a classic indie movie to me, you know, in terms of the way it was shot, in terms of the acting performances, in terms of the set design, maybe even in terms of the plot, sort of loose and so forth. So I enjoyed it. I can't say I'd give it 5 stars for any reason, but perfectly pleasant, enjoyable movie that could be a family movie night offering. Oh, Dan says no.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Okay, maybe a weird family. Yeah, okay, right. Just thinking.
Sure. I think it's interesting that we're pairing this movie with The Little Things, which was not a conscious decision because they're both really similar in a lot of ways because, I mean, I think they're both exploring themes of professional disappointment, of personal loss, and they're sort of doing it within the framework of, you know, the mystery thriller genre. Although this one, The Kid Detective, has a lot more comedic elements that are kind of right below the surface there. But in this instance, whereas I thought The Little Things was no good, I liked both the character stuff and the central mystery in this movie. And I kept trying, it does what a good mystery should do, which is it kept me guessing. I kept trying to get ahead of where Abe's investigation was going. And I was totally wrong at the end. I didn't see it coming. And it made logical sense to me. And it reveals something much darker than we think we're going to get. And somehow, I think it's not going to work for everybody. I think that the tip over into really tough, violent stuff it's not going to please everyone. It worked for me. And I think that Adam Brody is the ingredient that kind of pulls this all together. So yeah, you're right. This is a weird movie. It feels like something you might see at a film festival, but I liked it. I got on its weird, screwy kind of level and it worked for me.
Yeah, I ended up liking The Kid Detective very much, but it took me a couple of days. And the problem is because it's a Nickelodeon film that was filmed by someone who is an adult filmmaker who, and the tone is all over the place. And it's the perfect, you think you're getting one thing and it turns out to be something completely different kind of experience. So family film, yeah, maybe for our family, but not most families, I don't
know. Well, we should say it is an R-rated movie. So don't get like, it's called The Kid Detective, but it's rated R.
And that was The Kid Detective. Let's close with The Dig. Based on a true story, which unfolded in rural England on the eve of World War II, The Dig is exactly that. The tale of an archaeological excavation that changed how we view ancient English history. Carey Mulligan stars as Edith Pretty, the widow owner of a country estate who hires an excavator named Basil Brown, played by Ralph Fiennes, to dig up a series of mounds that have sat on her property for as long as anyone can remember. Based on a 2007 novel by John Preston, which fictionalized the stories of the real figures, The Dig, directed by Simon Stone, comes close enough to the real story to feel credible. And though Stone at times seems to be trying to channel Terrence Malick in progressing from one scene to the next, he does get the most that he could from Fiennes and Mulligan, but especially from child actor Archie Barnes.
Yeah, for a movie that has so much rain and mud in it, this movie was a bit dry, don't you think?
Yes.
I mean, despite the fact that, I mean, I think it's a gorgeous movie. I think evoking Malick is somewhat appropriate here because, I mean, I think this movie, its relationship to the earth and to the ground and the trees and the sky, I think is Malick-esque in that way. But I think that whenever it tries to go into the human realm, it stumbles a lot of the time. I like that it kept introducing new characters as the dig gets bigger and more people have to come in to assist. I think the biggest stumbling block here is the Lily James character, who's another archaeologist that comes on, and she's a woman in a field that is very male dominated. And I thought it was going to go in an interesting kind of feminist sort of way, but then it just introduces a hunky Air Force guy that she has to fall in love with. And I didn't care about any of that. And it takes up way too much time. The stuff with Ralph Fiennes and Carey Mulligan, the stuff with the actual dig, I was interested in, and it was beautiful to look at. But at the end, this could have been great, and it's just okay.
It missed the mark. I agree. I think the dig, I liked it best when it was focused on the dig, and maybe it could have provided us with more context about that, because I think it felt it was missing something. So that's why it went in this like weird, romantic, made up direction with this love plot or whatever. And I think that maybe concentrating a little bit more on the significance of what happened here, in a way, getting reactions from other people. It's on the brink of wartime. And so we have that overlay. Yeah, it just missed the mark, as I said. And really, it was that subplot that maybe needed to be cut. But then something else needed to be added there in order for this to be a complete film.
Yeah, and what was Ben Chaplin doing in this movie also? I mean, you know, this guy's a good actor, and he's just thrown in there as kind of the foil for the Lily James character. I liked much about this, but I got to agree with both of you. It's a movie that I think you could take a pass on. But enough digs about the dig. This is Movies 101. I'm Dan Webster. Early in the show, Nathan Weinbinder, Ray Pat Truthright, and I discussed The Little Things and The Kid Detective. Let's take this moment to thank Peter Glarberg for both producing and engineering the show. And we thank you to our loyal listeners. We invite you back next week, same time, same spot on the radio dial, when we'll again check out all the best that streaming cinema has to offer. Until then, remember these words from Denzel Washington. Just because you were doing a lot more doesn't mean you were getting a lot done. Don't confuse movement with progress. You're listening to Movies 101 on Spokane Public Radio.
Well, that was a little depressing.
The Movies 101 podcast is made possible by the members of Spokane Public Radio. Become a member at SpokanePublicRadio.org. Thanks for listening to Movies 101.